afternoon. This is Yana Benun with Israeli News Live and Denun Institute of Biblical Research. I have a very special guest today, Dr. Lorraine Day. Many of you know Dr. Lorraine Day. We have had programs with her many times. But for those of you who do not know her, I would ask Dr. Day if she could introduce herself and her credentials. Dr. Day, welcome again.
Thank you very much. Yes, I am a medical doctor. I got my MD degree from the University of California, San Francisco in 1969, and I was on the faculty there for many, many years. I was associate professor and vice chairman of the Department of Orthopedic Surgery, and I was chief of orthopedic surgery at San Francisco General Hospital. So I am trained in all of orthodox medicine. However, when I developed cancer in 1993, I already knew that doctors don't know how to cure any disease because drugs don't cure disease. Drugs only treat symptoms while your disease continues to progress. So I refused all orthodox therapy. I certainly did not have a mastectomy, even though my tumor grew very big. If you go to my website at drday, you'll see that it grew to the size of a softball. And but I knew I didn't develop breast cancer because I had too many breasts. So cutting one or both of them off was not going to cure me. Right. And I tried over 40 different types of alternative therapies. None of them worked. And I kept getting sicker and sicker. To make a long story short, at one point, I was not expected to live through the night. But I learned how to get well on God's totally natural health plan. And I am alive and well and cancer-free and have been for over 25 years. And I still eat, live, and handle stress God's way. And it's been 28 years since my diagnosis of cancer. It took me over 2 years to try to figure out the plan where God gives us 100% guarantee if we follow his laws, his commandments, and his decrees, he'll keep us free from every disease. And I am living proof. I am totally well. I take no medications. I have the energy of a 30-year-old. And 3 weeks ago, I turned 84.
Well, Dr. Day, that was amazing. And I have to say, you look amazing. You are my inspiration for your age.
Well, that's God's way. It's God's way. When everything in the health plan that gets you well from cancer is anti-aging.
Yes, yes, wonderful. Well, you know, most of the people know that first time when I contacted you, it was for the reason of Noahide laws, because my husband and I, we have done deep research about Noahide laws. When we learned about them, it was a very shocking day. And the more we researched into it, the more we understood who is behind all this evil and what's been planned for Christians in general and for Gentiles in general, Gentile world. And your name came up because you are a wife of ex-congressman, and Noahide laws were signed while he was in office, and it was done in such a deceptive way. But since then, you know, we had many interviews on Noahide laws, and since then we have you have written many books. And the reason I'm bringing you on today is your latest book. And let me just hold it up. You were so kind to send it to me. It is a huge book. How many pages does it have, Dr. Day?
It's over 800 pages, and the pages are 8.5 by 11. Actually, I was going to write a 2-volume series, but I thought probably it would be too much for people because I know much more than is even in the book. I just picked the most important things to put in the book because the reason is that everything everybody believes is a lie.
Yes.
I mean, everything is a lie. Vaccinations do not prevent disease. Vaccinations cause disease. Drugs do not cure disease. Drugs cause disease and suppress your immune system. Jesus was not resurrected on Sunday. The words Sunday or first day of the week are never in the Bible. Our government doesn't love us and think that they're doing the best for us. They hate us. They want us dead. God gave us 100% guarantee that if we follow his ways, we'll be well. Bill Gates thinks he needs to help God out by giving vaccinations. And people don't think about the guy, Bill Gates, who says the earth is overpopulated, wants to give you a vaccination to make you well. Are you kidding?
Right, exactly.
Everything that you believe is a lie. Everything.
Yes, and in this book, you also have many pictures, and it is written in a very simple way that appeal to a common man. You know, a lot of books are written in a very complicated way. People start reading it, they don't understand terminology and all the jargon, I guess you say. I don't know if I say it correctly in English. As you know, English is my fifth language, so I apologize. But I want to say that your book is written in such a simple way, right to the point, and everybody will understand it the way you wrote it. And you have addressed practically every issue that's concerning today and today's situation. So I do recommend buying this book for everybody, and we will go and have several interviews. You have agreed to several interviews, maybe within the next 4 weeks,
yes,
to talk about certain subjects in the book. And then, of course, I encourage everybody to go and get this book. But let's just start today. You were talking about Bill Gates, and you know, I did more research into the Bill Gates because he's coming up among us saying he's a Christian. Right. He's a Christian. He's in our society saying, I'm a white Christian man. And, you know, it appears as if Gentile is causing all these genocide.
It's a Jew.
Right.
Right.
Do you know more about him and his Jewish background?
Well, first of all, his father was an attorney. And not only was he on the board of Planned Parenthood, which is meant to kill Gentiles, specifically blacks, Margaret Sanger, and I've got an area in the book, a section in the book, chapter on Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood, was a Jew. It was started mainly to kill black babies. The thing is, and then they'll kill all Gentile babies too. They don't care if they're black or white or yellow. Bill Gates' father was an attorney, I think I put it in the book, and I can't remember. He was either attorney for the Rothschilds or some very big Jew. They would never have a Gentile lawyer, ever, ever, ever.
Wow.
So Bill Gates is a Jew. He's part of that whole thing. He didn't invent Microsoft. Microsoft was invented by DARPA, a Defense Advanced Research Program, which is run by the Jews in the government, and they gave it to Bill Gates to run. If you've seen the videos of Bill Gates, Bill Gates, he's not a doctor, he's not a scientist, he's not an engineer, he's not in anything. They gave it to him to run. If you see him when he talked to Congress, he's doing this, he's doing this. Every time he sits down, he's doing this. He's dobbing. He doesn't have the ability to invent Microsoft. Zuckerberg did not invent Facebook. Mm-hmm. Again, it was invented by DARPA. They gave it to Zuckerberg to run. In fact, Zuckerberg's friends say he couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag. So Bill Gates is as Jewish as they come.
Right, exactly. And in this book, you're providing full proof of who is behind all these agendas. And you have proven it right out of the horse's mouth, I would say, out of their own mouth, where their prime ministers and when their agents have said to us, to the whole world, that it is them who are fighting for world domination. So it is not you saying this. You are only quoting them because they say this.
On the back of the book, I've got a picture of Henry Kissinger saying this whole thing is a war between Jews and non-Jews. He says it.
Yes.
And in the first chapter, as you notice, I have 14 roadmaps. Most of them, when I say roadmaps, telling exactly how they're going to do what they are doing now. They planned this hundreds of years ago, and they tell you how they're going to do it. And so I have in there the protocols of the Elders of Zion. I have Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, which is a CIA training manual telling how they're going to do exactly what they're doing now to us. And you have to look at the Georgia Guidestones, which they erected in Elberton, Georgia. One thing I didn't put in the book, and I have much more information than what is in the book. I just wanted to put out there the evidence that everything they're telling you is a lie. The Elberton, Georgia, in the state of Georgia in the United States, is on what is called a ley line, L-E-Y. And that's an occultic line, and that those ley lines, that ley line that Elberton, Georgia is on, is the same ley line that goes through Washington, D.C. and New York. So they make sure that they put all their occultic, satanic things on these ley lines. And so it says right there that they're going to reduce the population to 500 million. Well, they have to do, in order to do that, they've got to kill 6 billion people or more. Yes. And that's what they're doing now with the vaccinations. The vaccination should not even be called a vaccination. In medicine, a vaccination has a very strict definition. However, remember, even the ones that come under the definition of a vaccination do not prevent or reverse any disease. Polio was not prevented by vaccinations. They tell you, oh, look, vaccinations eliminated childhood diseases of polio. No, it didn't. I've got a whole chapter, a very long chapter, on vaccinations, and I show that all of these childhood diseases, including polio, were eliminated 95% by changes in the laws, getting rid of children working. We had child labor laws finally, because children were working in the mines ages 4, 5, 6, 9 for 12-hour days. They never got any sunlight. They never got any fresh air. They were living with their families under staircases with the Industrial Revolution and all that. When they started making housing laws, child labor laws, health laws, sanitation laws, instead of throwing their waste into the gutter, the incidence of childhood diseases, including polio, came down 95% before there was ever a single vaccination.
Yes, and isn't it true that the iron lungs and all of that happened after vaccine? It was mostly vaccinated that got sick?
Yes, after the introduction of vaccines, at least 50 and in sometimes some cases 80% of the diseases were caused by the vaccination. Yes. Okay? Now, I'm old enough to have done my residency during a time. Now, the iron lungs were already gone, but we had a whole storage room full of them in Children's Hospital in San Francisco when I was a resident rotating through. There was a whole storage area full of iron lungs. When I was a child, they would have, for the polio, raising money for polio, they would have a bus come around and you could go inside and see people, living people, in an iron lung. And you would put your dime in there for the National Foundation for Polio or whatever, you see. But the thing is, this was caused by the vaccine once the vaccines were there, were implemented. Now, if you got polio from the vaccine, they would no longer call it polio. They would call it aseptic meningitis because they didn't want you to know that you got polio from the vaccine. Wow. So if you've been vaccinated and you develop polio, they told you it was aseptic meningitis. Otherwise, if you had already been vaccinated against polio and you got polio, you'd say, wow, how did that happen? They didn't want you to know that the vaccinations do not work and they give you the disease they're supposed to prevent. Now they're talking about, they call it something, if you get polio from the polio vaccination now, they call it something different, yeah. But it's still a euphemism. They won't tell you you got polio from the vaccination.
Yes, well, that's the case now. People are getting vaccinated. They're getting side effects. But they always say
they're dying now from the COVID.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, like you said, this is not a vaccine. The recent vaccine is very different from previous vaccines that were already deadly. But this one, I would call a lethal injection.
Oh, it's a kill shot.
Right, a kill shot. And it is done for, and in fact, last night we got a very big confirmation from some of our sources that this is an operation for Israel, for the depopulation of Goyim. And unfortunately, this is really, really true. And it is a kill shot. It is a massive genocide, just like you said, for the Georgia Guidestone agenda. It's right there. And this is what we are in the middle of. Now, as of these new lethal injections that they're giving to people, I have reviewed several materials by, or several writings, documents by immunologists. One of them is Dr. Klassen. He's saying that recent vaccine or recent jabs are connected to prion disease, that they might cause in the future between 6 months to 1 year, very deadly, 100% fatal prion disease, which is like mad cow disease in humans, which will cause dementia, you know, blindness, and 100% death, and there is absolutely nothing you can do to stop it. Do you agree with him?
Well, I don't know if they're putting prions in this or not, but the whole point, it doesn't really matter. They're kill shots, however they're doing it. They may be even trying different things. They've got potassium chloride in it. Potassium chloride actually is what they use to stop the heart during an execution.
Ooh. And you know that there is a lot of side effects of this vaccine. People are getting it and they're developing heart disease and heart trouble and strokes. And
it's meant to kill them. I mean, if you realize, if you look at it from their point of view, it's very successful. It is meant to kill you. Nobody should even talk about it as a vaccination, because people think vaccinations are good, which, as you agree, they are not good. They don't prevent disease, but they have been training people to believe for 100 years that they prevent disease. So we need more and more of them. Again, this is anti-God. It's anti-Christ, because Christ says, if you follow my laws, my health laws, my commandments, and my decrees, I will keep you free from every disease. This is Satan's great deception, that you need a shot of drugs made by humans in order to be well.
Right.
This is satanic. And so it doesn't matter whether it's got prions in it, doesn't matter whether it's got potassium. It is meant to kill you. Now, again, they don't want everybody to die at once, because then everybody would catch on. Right. So they want it to kill you. So some people will die rapidly. Some people will die more slowly. But they're going to keep giving you shots because of these variants. You see, they had to have the variants. First of all, COVID-19 doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. Oh, well, then people say, well, how about all these people that are dying from it? No, they're not. Right. They're not dying from it. For the first year or so of the fake pandemic, they kept telling you that people were dying of COVID. Oh, there are 20,000 people. Let me tell you this. If they picked a real disease, this remember, COVID, you can have COVID and you have no symptoms. That's because COVID doesn't exist.
Right.
So they had to pick a disease that doesn't exist, because then they can make up the numbers. If they had a disease that really existed, where people had symptoms, then they would be bound by the number of people who actually had objective symptoms. But when they pick a non-disease, and again, why did they pick the coronavirus? It's right in your face. Corona means crown.
Yes.
Who's behind this? The Crown Corporation, which are the Rothschilds Corporation in the City of London. The Crown Corporation is not the royal family. It is the Rothschilds entity. They are behind it. If you take Corona, and it's got six letters, so you've got six. And if you take the C, which is the third letter in the alphabet, and the O, which is the 15th, and go on down that, you will have 66. So Corona spells 666. Wow. And it's from the Crown Corporation, the Rothschilds, who control the money supply of all but three countries in the world, 192 out of 195 countries. They're doing this. They're pushing it right in your face. By the way, one of the roadmaps is right in your pocket. Everybody who is watching this, it is right in your pocket, and it's on the back of the dollar bill. It tells you where it has the pyramid, and it says Annuit Sepsis Novo Ordo Seclorum.
Yes.
Annuit means announcing, sepsis, the birth, COEPTIS, a conception, the birth of the new order of the world. You've been carrying it around in your wallet. If you have a dollar bill in there, ever since you've been carrying a wallet, the whole roadmap is there. They're telling you and they're laughing behind their hands saying, oh, those Gentiles are so stupid. We put it right on the back of the dollar bill and they don't even get it.
Right. Wow. Now, what you say about Corona and these numbers that gematria, right? They do everything by gematria because basically those are Kabbalists. What's really right. interesting that the Corona is Keter. Keter means Corona, and Keter is on the top of Sefirot Kabbalah tree.
Yes.
Yeah. So that it's almost like a beginning of
right.
all of this agenda that now Corona started to the full road to
right.
this new world order, as we would say.
And
yes,
of course,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, this is right in the Bible.
Yes.
I mean, if people had been reading their Bible, they would have known that this was going to happen. I was raised a Christian studying the Bible. I knew all about Revelation. I knew when I was 8 years old that this was all going to happen, but I didn't know it was going to happen in my lifetime. So it was not frightening to me as a child because I thought, oh, that's, you know, hundreds of years away. When I became an adult in my early 20s, I left the Christian church. I left it completely because I could not get my head around a God who says, love me and I'll let you live with me forever. But if you don't, I'm going to burn you. And I thought, my parents would never do that to me. I could become a serial killer. They would hate what I had done, but they would still love me. So I said, who is this God? So I left the church, which of course broke my parents' heart. I was an agnostic for 35 years until I developed cancer. And I recognized the only place that had the answer was God and the Bible. And I came back to God. I did not come back to an organized church. And I wrote a book called Who Started the Organized Church? It Wasn't God, because for the first 4,000 years of human history, nobody went to church, okay? Mm-hmm. And so then what happened, and I show you in the book how the organized church started, and it started with Satan, not with God, okay? Mm-hmm. So I came back to God, and I recognized that that is the only way to live. God never wanted an organized church. He wants us to be one with him. Christianity is not a religion. It is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
With no one in between.
Yes.
That's what it is. And it's not a church, not a building, not anything like that. It is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So God is telling us in the Bible, if people had been studying their Bibles, if people had been reading Revelation, it talks about the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven last plagues. It talks about the genocide that's going on. It talks about a one world government, which is Babylon. And of course, what is Babylon? It's the Jewish Babylonian Talmud.
Yes.
The holiest book of the Jews. That is Babylon. The Illuminati Jews are Babylon. And the Bible talks all about it, Revelation 13, Revelation 17, Revelation 20. It talks all about what is happening now. When I was speaking out about the AIDS epidemic and the government's cover-up of all the things and the CDC lying, and Fauci was around there, he was lying then, he's lying now. And so when I was speaking out about that, I was given some inside government documents by lower-level people in the Illuminati. Now I'm talking about clerical people who were not part of the enemy's deception but realized that they were doing very bad things and wanted this information out, but they were afraid to put it out themselves because first of all they thought they'd get fired and secondly they might be killed and they didn't have the forum to do it. But I was on a lot of television, so they gave me these inside government documents. When I looked at them, I thought, oh my word, this looks like it's right, you know, fulfilling these prophecies in Revelation. So I got the Bible out. This was before I had cancer. I got the Bible out and started from an intellectual viewpoint, because remember, I was an agnostic mm-hmm. at that time. I started reading Revelation and I thought, we are here. And that was 30 years ago. And so I started realizing, and I started getting more and more documents, and I realized, and I've been talking about this for 30 years, I knew this was going to happen. I thought it would happen at Y2K, but they were not ready yet. And by the way, what people don't realize, why did they got Agenda 21, which I got in the book, which they tell you from the UN everything they're going to do to you, and it's all there and it's all happening.
Right.
Agenda 21, which is for the 21st century, and then they got Agenda 2030 because they want to have all of us dead by that time, because the Jews want to rule the world by themselves, kill off all the Gentiles, and they say they're going to have 10,000 years of peace. Well, if you look at the Bible and the fulfillment of prophecy, it tells when they do all this damage, and they're going to do a lot of it, they're going to kill a lot of people.
Yes.
They will rule for 15 days only, and then Jesus will come. Only.
Right.
15 days. And then he will crush Babylon. And this is all in the book. I show you that it's all predicted in the Bible. If Americans and American Christians had actually been studying their Bible, but you see, the Jews have infiltrated all of the denominations, and they started the whole business of the evangelicals who believe, oh, we're not going to go through the tribulation. We're going to be out of here, up in heaven, having a party. Well, they have a big surprise coming.
Yes.
All right.
They are leading them to genocide. Dr. Day, there are ministers, I don't want to name names here, but there are ministers who actually are from Israel, but they are coming often to United States. They are influencing Christians here. They are,
right.
They're making them believe they're Christian ministers, but they're not. They're agents,
right.
Mossad agents, okay, Shin Bet agents, and they're posing as Christians. And now they're creating infomercials for vaccine and telling Christians to take the vaccine as a gift from God.
In the book, I show you that at least 20,000 supposedly Christian pastors have signed on secretly. They are not allowed to tell their congregation, with the government, are getting paid to promote vaccinations and the government agenda, which will end up in genocide even of them.
And you have that information in this book.
In the book.
By the way, I forgot to tell people the name of your book. It's called The Deliberate Destruction of America and the World. Who is doing it and why? Okay.
Right.
And I'm going to post links where you can get the book. Hold on, because my eyeglasses fell.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I have a very tiny space here. But anyway, let's keep moving into some of the subjects that are in your book. You are having here a list of current communist goals. And let me go here. This is, hold on, 45. You have a 45 points of current communist goals.
Right. Now, and that's from the January 10, 1963 congressional record. It was read into the congressional record in 1963 to warn Americans what the communists planned to do to America. And number 22 or 24 or 26 is, now remember, 63. This is 60 years ago. 60 years ago was promote homosexuality as a normal, healthy, alternate lifestyle.
Who is behind it, Doctor? Who are the communists?
The Jews. Communism is Jewish. It's right out of the Babylonian Jewish Talmud. Communism is Jewish.
And you, in your book, you're talking about Bolshevik Revolution. You are describing the history and proving that it is Jewish.
It is Jewish. Stalin was a Jew. Lenin was a Jew. The Allies were all Jews. Winston Churchill was a Jew. His mother was Jenny Jerome. I give the lineage. Roosevelt, who was president during the Second World War, his name was Rosenvelt, R-O-S-E-N-V-E-L-T. He changed it to Roosevelt so nobody would know that he was Jewish. We have had nine of the last 14 presidents have been Jews. Roosevelt was Jewish. Harry Solomon Truman was Jewish, as well as a Freemason. Okay, Freemasonry is the way that the Jews control the up-and-coming Gentiles. Mm-hmm. So Freemasonry is run from behind by the Jews. And so we have Harry Solomon Truman. Lyndon Johnson was a Jew. Even with the name Johnson, he was a Jew. He was vice president under Kennedy. They assassinated Kennedy. The Jews assassinated Kennedy. I've got that in the book as well. And then Lyndon Johnson took over. The Bushes are Jews. Clintons are Jews. Barack Obama is a Jew. He is a Jew. His mother is Jewish. He's not a black Muslim. His father was black, and his father wasn't even named either Sotero or Obama. His father was Frank Marshall. I think it's Frank Marshall Davis or Frank Marshall, who was a communist Jew.
Wow.
I mean, not a communist. He was a communist black man, but he was a communist. He was a member of the Communist Party, as was Martin Luther King, by the way. I've got a picture of him in there at a communist meeting. Frank Marshall Davis, I think was his name, was Obama's father. He looks just like him. I've got pictures of him and his real father there, but his mother was Jewish. And, of course, Trump is Jewish as well. So we have had 9 of the last 14 presidents have been Jews.
Yes. Now back to your communist goals. And you were talking about this LGBTQ agenda, which we can see that even now Biden is really fighting for the transgenders to be having all these rights. So that's also Jewish agenda. It's a Talmudic Jewish agenda, the Sabbatean Frankist agenda, more specifically.
Right. It's an agenda of debauchery, degeneracy, filth, and everything against the family. See, Satan hates the family. This whole thing that's going on now is the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon is not what the evangelicals think. Oh, it's going to be a battle of Russia or whatever, Rosh against Israel on the plains of Megiddo. Well, the word Armageddon, which comes from H-A-R, which is R-A-R in the Armageddon, means mountain. It doesn't mean plains. It means mountain. They're not going to have an actual war. This is a war, a spiritual war for the hearts of mankind. It's a war between Christ and Satan, between good and evil. Started in the Garden of Eden. It is now ending. How do we know that we are near the end? And that's the second chapter in the book. Nothing changed for 5,800 years of human history. Mm-hmm. Everybody walked everywhere. They rode a horse. They grew their own food, or they grew food in the community. We didn't have all the Industrial Revolution. Everything changed within the last 200 years, more so in the last 150 years, and even more so since they killed Kennedy. Once they killed Kennedy, they took over our whole government. And that's when they changed the immigration policy, started bringing a whole lot of non-Christians and other races in that had no idea of freedom, no idea of our principles or our morality. And they did that on purpose to destroy America. And of course, the Bible talks about true Christians not being allowed to buy or sell. Well, how do you do that? You do that, only way you can do that is to have a cashless society.
Yes.
And by the way, bartering will be a crime punishable by imprisonment, death, or at least the gigantic fine that you won't be able to pay, so you'll have to go to prison. So in order to have Christians not be allowed to buy or sell, you have to have a cashless society. In order to have a cashless society, you've got to have computers or cell phones. You've got to have computer technology, which was really only available to the average person in America in the last 30 years or so. So all of these things happen because we are at the end of time. How do we know? First of all, the creation chronologists say the earth is approximately 6,000 years old. So why is that a critical period of time for end times? Well, when God created the earth, he said he created the sun and the moon. He said these will be for times and seasons, for days and years. Well, the 24-hour day is controlled by the sun and the moon. The year is the earth going around the sun, and the month is designated by the moon. So then what is it that designates the seven-day week? Nothing in the sun or the moon. God picked a seven-day week. God designated it. Why didn't he pick a 12-day week? There were 12 disciples. How about a 10-day week? There were 10 commandments. In fact, during the French Revolution, when they wanted to get rid of God, they tried to change to a 10-day week from seven, and it didn't work. So God designated the seven-day week. Why? To tell us when he's coming back. Because in 2 Peter 3:9, he's talking about Jesus' second coming, and then he stops and he said, remember this. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. And then people say in the churches, well, that means God's outside of time. Time is nothing to the Lord. No, Time is everything to the Lord when he deals with humanity. He deals with us in time. The prophecies are all in time. There was a designated time for Jesus to be born. There was a designated time for him to die. And all the prophecies in Daniel and Revelation are in time. God is telling us that it took him 6 days to create the world, and it's taken Satan 6,000 years to destroy it. So we are right at the end. And why did they pick 2030? I said a minute ago, we got Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. Why did they pick that? That's when they want to have all of us dead by 2030. In fact, they would prefer by 2025.
Right, okay? Like a Deagle website, remember? 2025, supposed to be the population.
Right, but 2030 is a year they have picked because that's the 2000th year of Jesus either beginning his ministry or being crucified. Now, the reason I say either or is they don't know exactly if Jesus was born at 0 AD or if he was born in 4 BC. But either way, they picked 2030 because it's a 2000th year anniversary of either the death of Jesus or the beginning of his ministry, the beginning of the salvation of the world. So Satan wants to be the God of this planet. He wants to eliminate all Christians because he knows Jesus is coming soon. He wants to be able to say when Jesus comes back, there is no one on this planet who worships you. Go away. I am the God of this planet. That's the basic goal of all of this.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, let's go back to your point 45, Dr. Day, here with the communist goals. You say that the 45th point is give the world court jurisdiction over nations and individuals alike. So there will be a world court. Do you think that's the Noahide court?
They already have a world court. There's already a world court.
But don't you think it's going to be in Jerusalem, the Noahide court on the Sanhedrin that they're creating?
Eventually, it's now, I think, in either Brussels or someplace over in Europe now, and it will probably be transferred. You know, again, why they want to have, when Hitler wanted to get the Jews out of Germany, he was suggesting, go to Madagascar, just get out of our country, get it, because you're corrupting our country, you're bringing in pedophilia, pornography, filthy stuff, big box stores, just what they've been doing to America. But they would refuse to go to Madagascar. They wanted to go to Palestine. Mm-hmm. And why? Because Satan wants to rule the world from where God created the Garden of Eden. God created the Garden of Eden between the Euphrates and the Nile. They're trying to extend the borders of Israel to Eretz Israel, which lead to the Euphrates and the Nile. That's why they're going after Syria. That's why they went after Iraq. That's why they go after Iran, because they want to extend the borders of Israel to what they say God gave them. Well, as we've talked about before, the present day Jews have no relationship to the Israelites of the Old Testament, none whatsoever. They came from Khazaria, which is between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, over in the area of Ukraine now and Western Russia. They have no relationship to that. They had to get their translators into the Bible and change the word Judean, which means a form of worship, the worship of the true God in the temple in Jerusalem, which was in Judea. So they were called Judeans before Christ was born, and they changed it to Jew. The word Gentile doesn't exist in the Bible either. The word is always nations. The Bible defines the nations as those who know not God. Mm-hmm. That's what it says. Those who know not God, the nations, they were worshiping pagan gods of stone and wood. And so there were the Judeans who worshiped the true God in the temple. They didn't worship him very well. They were always leaving him, but that was the one that they worshiped. And then there are the nations, and they've changed that from Judeans and nations to Jews and Gentiles. They changed it from a form of worship to an ethnicity. And it is not true. The Israelites were not Jews. They were Christians. The word Hebrew means to cross over. It does not mean Jew. Abraham was called by God, and this says this in Joshua 24, 2 and 3. God says, I called Abraham to cross over the flood, which was the Euphrates River. They call rivers flood. I called him to cross over the flood, and in Babylon, his ancestors worshiped gods made of stone. I called him over to worship me. So he crossed over the Euphrates, and he crossed over from worshiping pagan gods to worshiping the true God. And the word Hebrew means to cross over. It does not mean Jew. Abraham was the father of Christians. Jesus came in his line. Jesus was not a Jew. And by in Galatians, it said that Abraham's offspring, his seed, and I said seed, not plural seeds, is Christ. And if you are Christ, you are heir to Abraham's promises.
Exactly. That's the New Testament and message of Apostle Paul. But a lot of Christians today are turning back to, you know, they're going to so-called Hebrew roots and they're worshiping State of Israel.
I'm Christian.
Yeah, but they're doing the opposite, you know.
I know, because that's the Judaizing of the Christian church.
Right.
And in my book, I've got a whole chapter on the interview of Walter White, a Christian magazine editor, with Harold Rosenthal, who was a Jew, who was the administrative assistant of the Jewish Senator Jacob Javits, who was around a couple of decades ago. And in 1976, he gave an interview where he says, you know, you stupid Christians, you are so easily deceived. We've infiltrated all of your churches, changed your doctrines. You think we're the chosen people. You're so stupid.
Right. And I read that interview. You're right. And we need to provide a link to people to really read it. I gave it before as a homework to all of my listeners, and only two people got back with me that they did their homework.
Well, again, it's in the book. It's in the book. All the important parts of that interview are in the book.
So. Yes. Well, Dr. Day, I am on a page where you are writing about Protocols of the Elders of Zion. And what's interesting is this is a one-day-old news, okay? There is a police chief in Washington that was just fired because someone saw Protocols of the Elders of Zion on his desk. And they were afraid that how many police been reading this and they fired him for having an anti-Semitic book on a desk. So we can see that now already. That happened in Russia before. This particular document was illegal in Russia. Whoever read it or had it was had to die. And now I was very surprised to see that even here in the United States, if you have a job and you have on a desk Protocols of the Elders of Zion, you might lose your job. Isn't that interesting news?
What you have to realize is that that's what communism always does. Yes. It always eliminates truth. Yes. And why is it, you know, and I've dedicated the book to Ernst and Ingrid Zundel, who were close personal friends of mine, who Ernst spent 7 years in prison. Why is it a prison sentence for investigating history unless they have something to hide? If they are telling the truth, then you can investigate history all you want. But if they are hiding something, and the Holocaust, there was nobody gassed in the Holocaust. Nobody was gassed in the Holocaust. Hitler put them in prisons because they were traitors, because international Jewry told every Jew in Germany during the war to sabotage the war effort, so they were traitors to their country. So he put them in camps. They were work camps. I showed that they were. Auschwitz was built right next to IG Farben, which eventually became Bear. They were working in the camps. I have them in their striped uniforms working in the camps. They were not killing camps. And so I proved that beyond a shadow of a doubt. They had entertainment centers. They had orchestras. They had swimming pools. Why would Hitler build all these camps with places for them to live if he was just going to kill them? Why didn't you just bring them in boxcars and kill them? Mm-hmm. It was stupid to spend all that money during a war while he's trying to fight a war, to spend all this money building these camps for these people. They were work camps. They were not gassing camps. So what they're doing is, and by the way, I'm old enough to realize, you see, I was alive during World War II. I remember the day that Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. I was 4 years old, but I remember that day because I was in the car with my father at a time when you could leave children in the car for a few minutes and go into a store, and the children wouldn't run away and nobody would attack the children and kidnap them. So my dad came out, and I could see that he was pale. And he said to me, I was only 4 years old. I was the only other one in the car. He said, Japan has bombed Pearl Harbor. And I realized we were at war and things were bad. And when I was 6 years old, I was living in Washington, D.C. with my grandmother, my father's mother, because my mother was in New York taking care of her mother who was dying of cancer at the hands of Memorial Sloan Kettering, who were killing her with chemotherapy. And so I was in Washington, D.C. during the war, and we would have air raids, and it was very scary when you were 6 years old, and we would have the sirens and the black shades we would have to pull down. So I remember how it was. And even when I was a teenager and a young adult, 20 years after World War II, we never heard anything about any Holocaust. And Eisenhower, oh, that's another president who was Jewish, Eisen, he changed it to from H-A-U-E-R at the end to H-O-W-E-R, Eisenhower, and it says in his West Point yearbook that he's a Swedish Jew. All right, there you go. So Eisenhower wrote his memoirs, so did Winston Churchill, and so did Charles de Gaulle, the president of France. In those 9,000 collectively pages of their memoirs, there is no mention of a Holocaust. Mm-hmm. None. And both Eisenhower and Churchill were Jews. If there had been a Holocaust where they'd been gassing Jews, you can imagine they would have written all about it. There was no mention. That whole thing came up about 20 years after the war. Mm-hmm. By the way, I've got in my book, I've got a newspaper article from New York where they tried to pull this 6 million business of the Holocaust in World War I, but it didn't fly, so they made sure that it would get legs in World War II. And so this is all a sham. Yes, there were camps, and they were sent to camps because I've got a newspaper article there showing that the Jews declared war against Germany.
Yes,
not the other way around. Right. And so Judea declared war against Germany because Winston Churchill was a Jew, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was a Jew, and Stalin was a Jew. So all of the Allies countries were Jew-controlled.
Didn't Jews need this Holocaust story to create a state of Israel? Like they needed blood, you know, or something to create a state of Israel.
They said, when this war is over, there will be a lot of bloodshed, and we're going to make sure that we've got a good chip at the bargaining table to get what we want. See, World War One, and this is all in the book, World War One was primarily fought, first of all, to kill a lot of Gentile Christian Americans, because America is the military arm of the Rothschilds, and they don't want to have Jews killed, so they have American Christians killed in wars. And so World War One was fought to get Palestine out of the hands of the Ottomans and into the hands of Great Britain. And World War II had two goals. Number one, to crush Gentile Christian Germany, which was really the last remaining major country in Europe that hadn't been taken over by the communists. And I explain that in the book. And then the other one was to get Palestine from the hands of the British into the hands of the Jews, yes, particularly the Rothschilds, so they could form Israel, so they could plant themselves, because Satan wants to plant himself in the area not only of the original Garden of Eden, but in the area where the Christians, who were the Israelites, were put by God originally.
Hmm. Yes, and you do have all of this information, by the way, in the book in a great detail with all the proofs around it. Well, let me go into another subject, chapter 21. You can talk a little bit about that. Three cities that run the world. I know that United States is kind of controlled by Britain and Israel, right? Which Britain is like home of Rothschilds. They're the Jews.
Britain became communist 400 years ago with John Dee. I show, by the way, that this whole COVID thing was announced in a secretive way at the 2012 Olympics, which were in the UK. 2012 Olympics were in the UK, and they had all the dancing nurses. I remember seeing, I thought, this is pretty stupid. What are all these dancing nurses about? And then they had the gigantic, like 50-foot-high angel of death at the end of it. This was announcing, and they had a big a thing of the coronavirus, even.
Yes.
They didn't call it the coronavirus, but it was all there. I've got the pictures in the book. And so they announced this, really, they're saying this is 8 years before this happened. This is what we're going to do to you. This is what we're going to do to you. And so it also, at the 2012 Olympics, who accompanied Queen Elizabeth? It was the guy who played James Bond in the movies. The guy who played James Bond in the movies accompanied Queen Elizabeth. Okay, why? Because James Bond is 007. That movie character is based on John Dee, who was the advisor to Queen Elizabeth I 400 years ago, who signed his name 007. And by the way, his one of his big friends was in Prague, who was a rabbi, Rabbi, I forget his name, I've got it in the book. And he had a big statue to a golem, and a golem is the Jewish monster who kills Gentiles. And so who is a descendant of this rabbi in Prague? John Carey. John Carey's name, Cohn, K-O-H-N. His brother is a rabbi. He is a Jew. And he is a descendant of this rabbi who was a close friend of John Dee, who was the advisor to Queen Elizabeth I and coined the whole idea of the British Empire and how that the Jews and the elitist Gentiles, which of course now are Freemasons, had the right to rule the world. And so that's why they had the guy who played in the movies, James Bond, accompany Queen Elizabeth II, to this whole opening ceremony that announced surreptitiously, secretly, that there would be a coronavirus who would kill everybody.
Well, that's very interesting how everything is connected. And you do have that in a book.
Right.
All of this. Wow, that's very interesting. Well, thank you. And let me...
So if you wanted to talk about the three cities that rule the world, yes. It's called the Empire of the City. The Rothschilds from the City of London, and that's a 1 mile square area in the city, in the major city of London, where they have no rules of the City of London or the UK. They make up their own laws. They rule from there. The Rothschilds, who are Jewish family, they own the Rothschild family owns one half of the wealth of the entire world. The entire world. And they control the money supply of 192 of 195 countries. So they are the financial ruler of the world. And then the Vatican is also an individual city that has no rules from any other state or city or nation. They run their own show, and they will control the one world religion, which eventually will be the worship of Satan. Mm-hmm. And then the U.S., Washington, D.C., is also now a city of itself. It does not adhere to the rules of the United States or any nation or Washington, D.C. It is of its own. It has its own rules. And that's the military arm, because, again, the Jews want to use whites and white Christians or non-Jew, whether they're Hispanic or anything else, to die for wars that do not give us freedom. It's for wars to take over every country in the world so the Rothschilds and the elitist Jews, the Illuminati Jews, can rule the world.
That's true. We have fought every Middle Eastern war for the sake of Israel. Not for our sake. That was not for freedom. It was all for the Israeli needs and Israeli goals.
You also ought to realize that Israel itself, we're Palestine. Netanyahu does not run the world. The Rothschilds run the world.
Yes.
Netanyahu is an agent of the Rothschilds. So it's not for Israel per se. Israel is just occupying that area. You see, even the elitists, they don't care about the Jews that are in Israel. As I point out in the book, on a scale of 1 to 100, the Jews in Israel and the Jews in America, the rank and file Jews, are about 1 point above the Gentiles in their hatred of them. They'll dispense with them in a moment. They don't care about them. And the big Jews hate the religious Jews, the Orthodox Jews. They hate them. They hate every religion. And so just because, the rank and file Jews are complicit in this whole thing. Oh, they believe the Holocaust. They get very offended when you tell the truth about the Holocaust. Oh, my relatives survived the Holocaust. You know that they say you're a survivor of the Holocaust, even if you lived in South America and you weren't even in the camps. But if you were a Jew who was alive during World War II, any place in the world, you're called a survivor of the Holocaust and you get reparations, or the reparations are sent to Israel and they use it to kill the rest of us. I mean, this everything shows that this is the great controversy between Christ and Satan, and the Illuminati Jews, together with the high-level Freemason Gentiles, of which there are very few, and the Jews will kill them off when they have used them. This is run by the Illuminati Jews, and they worship Satan, and they communicate directly with Satan.
Yes, and you know, it was Rothschild who created the State of Israel, because it was a Balfour Declaration. People can look into this, how the whole thing was created. It was not done by God, as evangelicals say, that it's a fulfillment of prophecy, because nation born in one day was on the Pentecost. That's when the church was born, right? That's when nation was born in one day, not in 1948. That's a very wrong interpretation that we found out. We came out of that Zionistic background with Steve. So that's amazing to see the truth in this. But you said, Dr. Day, that they hate Orthodox Jews. However, don't you think, like, you know, Netanyahu met Schneerson, and you know who Schneerson is. Oh, he's he was a leader of the Chabad cult. And they're the ones who really push for Noahide laws. And even though you say that they hate them, they do use use Kabbalah and Talmud. Don't they use Kabbalah and Talmud to run the world and the hatred of Gentiles?
Of course. I mean, they hate blacks, but look what they're doing with blacks. They hate Obama. The Jews hate Obama because his mother had the audacity to have a child by a black man. They hate Obama, but they're using him.
Right.
And Obama thinks he's one of them, but he's not.
No, so this is the bad news for our politicians who are being bought and paid, that they don't mean anything to them, and they will kill them too.
Sure. Yeah. They use them and then they throw them away.
Right.
They didn't care anything about the people that were in the camps. They encouraged Hitler to put them in camps by their actions. They encouraged them, and they could have gotten them all out of the camps. Hitler was willing to, you just give me a price and take them all away.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they didn't want them, because they want them to stay in the camps, because then they could use them and lie about them and all that.
Yeah, and they wouldn't pay for them. They left them there.
Of course not.
Yeah, right. So this is in a book called Holocaust Victims Accuse.
It's all in the book, and the Noahide laws, the article that my husband wrote about how the Noahide laws were passed and what they mean for America and all that is also in the book.
Yeah, so do you think Noahide laws will be incorporated within this New World Religion?
Oh, yes, of course, because the New World Religion is the worship of Satan, and the Jews, the Illuminati Jews, are Satan's agents, and so this is all part of it.
Yeah. Yes, because it will be like, you know, Satan shows himself as angel of light, as we know. So Noahide laws, when you read them on the surface, they look like good laws, right? Wrong with not murdering? What's wrong with not doing this? Well, but the problem is interpretation is given to Talmud. Right. And Talmud say, kill Christians.
Kill Gentiles, kill Christians.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
In the Talmud, it says, even the best of all the Gentiles should all be killed.
Yes, indeed. That's what Talmud indeed says. Now, you're writing about the goals of Agenda 21, and you have several points in here. I mean, let me see. You didn't put number 1, 2, 3, so I would have to...
Well, I have Agenda 21 shown there, what they have written. It's right from the UN. If you find that one.
You have 12 points. I have that. Yes. Let me put my glasses on. And you're saying termination of national sovereignty, as we see that's happening.
Well, that's all already happened. You see, if a one world government is already in place.
Yeah.
We are already a communist one world government, because they could never have shut down the entire world in a week if they didn't already have a one world government.
That's right.
You know, saying, oh, it looks like communism is coming. Communism has been here. If you look at the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, which is one of the roadmaps, every 9 of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto have been in working order in our government for decades. The only one that is not complete is the elimination of private property. A graduated income tax is one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto. Inheritance tax, heavy inheritance taxes, that's part of it. Government control of education, government control of commerce. It's all of this. We have a centralized government. That is all communism.
Yes. Let me go through number second point here. State planning and management of all land resources, ecosystems, deserts, forests, mountains, oceans, fresh water. This is something that I'm going to have a show with Deborah Tavares, how they want to control our water, even well water. They will wanna come and lock your well water and they won't allow you to use it. Because they're saying there's a climate change and they're doing it in the name of climate change.
The only climate change that's happening is the weather control that they're doing. That's why when they had this big snowstorm in Texas, that wasn't even snow.
Yes.
That wasn't even snow. A man showed on a video that he made a snowball and he set it on fire. No water came out. It actually burned.
You know, we made a video here in Tennessee, Dr. Day, with Steve. We never published it. We have a private video, though. We tried to put the snow on a fire. It would become black, but it wouldn't melt.
Could not melt. So they are destroying the environment. And then there, but see, this is all another roadmap in there is a report from Iron Mountain. Yes. And I show you how they met years and years ago to decide when we eliminate all the guns and all the ammunition from every country in the world and every person in the world, what are we going to use to control the people? We've always controlled them with the threat of war. So when we eliminate war, how are we going to do it? And they decided on, oh, we'll use the environment and the people will be the problem. And so, you know, I talk about cap and trade also in there. Cap and trade is a whole idea where the corporations are given a certain number of carbon units that they can pollute the environment with and no more. And so they can trade these carbon units on this stock market for cap and trade. So they have a cap that they can't go above and they can trade these back and forth. So if they don't have enough, they can buy some from another corporation. Well, people don't realize that what these carbon units that they're really getting down to is CO2. Well, now when you breathe out carbon dioxide, the plants need carbon dioxide to live. Plants survive on carbon dioxide and plants produce oxygen. So God made this a symbiotic relationship that the plants need carbon dioxide, they produce oxygen, humans need oxygen and produce carbon dioxide. But this satanic group, the Illuminati, has declared that carbon is bad and it's a pollutant. Well, it's not a pollutant. The plants need it to grow. It makes the environment better. And so what they're going to do is they're giving a cap on carbon unit pollution to corporations now, but they are getting people used to it, and then they're going to transfer it to human beings. So when a baby is born, that baby is given a cap on their carbon pollution, which they claim is CO2. And when that baby has breathed out enough CO2 as it grows up and it comes to its cap, the euthanasia truck will come along to kill that person.
Wow, what a scary world to live in. The things you are saying.
What this is all about is God, see, America has left God. The world has left God. Yes. Nobody's really studying their Bible. People are not close to the Lord. They think they can run their own life. So God says, okay, if you don't want me, I will step back and I'll let you see how it is for Satan to run your world. This is really a call from God to return to him. Because if you look in the Old Testament, every time Israel left God, he allowed them to become slaves to an alien nation. Now, I don't mean somebody from outer space. I mean a non-God-fearing nation. And they became slaves. We have become slaves to a non-God-fearing nation, which is the nation of Illuminati Judaism. That's what we have become a slave to. God has allowed us to be enslaved by our enemies. That's what it's all about. we're not going to take America back. Nothing is going to return to normal. They may lift a little bit now and then to keep everybody happy, and then there'll be another variant that comes along. This is the end, and God is calling us back to Him. The only way we will survive physically, emotionally, or spiritually is to turn to God. Because God says if we're searching for Him with all our heart, He will provide our food and water. And God will take care of us. But there, you can't just say, oh, I'm a Christian. You know, I said the little sinner's prayer. Now I'm a Christian and nothing bad. No, that's not what it is. God wants to build strong Christians. God will test us very, very severely. We will have to learn to stand for God. And you know, Christians think, oh, well, Jesus died for us so we don't have to die. No, Jesus died for us to show us we may have to die for Him.
Right. That's true. And you were talking about the sustainable development, green agenda, whatever, everything in the name of climate change. You know, photosynthesis is the basic chemical reaction of life. That's what we learn first thing in biology when we are children in school, right? How we are dependent upon plants giving us oxygen, and they breathe what we breathe out.
That's right.
And so the word decarbonization is really a word for depopulation. We have a carbon-based bodies. We are the carbon. The humans are carbon-based bodies. Okay. We breathe out what plants need, and plants breathe out what we need. And this is the decarbonization is basically that they are telling you they're going to kill the life on the planet. They're going to kill humans and plants and animals.
Not only that. See, Satan wants to destroy the family. They want to destroy. That's what all the transgenderism is about.
Yes.
And that's what the family is about. Yes. Satan hates the family because, see, God gave human beings co-creative powers. We can have children. Angels cannot have children. Angels cannot have sex. Angels are not, they're genderless, okay? So this whole idea of the Nephilim, oh, that's Satan had sex with Eve, and there's these people who were born. No, no, no. Satan and the angels do not reproduce. They were all created individually, and they cannot reproduce. And that's one reason Satan hates humanity, because God gave humanity to be able to reproduce and have children. And so God created the family, and Satan wants to destroy it by ultra excessive feminism, transgenderism, homosexuality, lesbian, anything he can do to destroy the family. And people don't recognize this. They have no idea because they're not studying their Bible.
Let's go to another point, Dr. Day. States defines the role of business and financial resources. We can see now how they are closing down businesses and telling them they can't reopen until mask orders and soon to be vaccine requirements to have a business. So that's true.
Well, you tell, they see, but even after you're vaccinated, you still have to wear a mask and you still have to social distance. So what good does it do?
Yeah.
The point is they want to keep everybody apart because they don't want people getting together to form a resistance to come against them. And of course, the answer is not to get out your guns and go try to kill them. The Bible tells us what's going to happen. The only chance you'll have to get through this is to get to know the Lord better than you know any human being on earth.
Yes. Next one. Abolition of private property. Now, they are going to tell us that it is selfish to own a property. It's selfish to want to have a land of your own. So that people need to be aware of the fact this is on a list. It's something coming within this decade. They're going to tell you you cannot own your home and a land. Is that true?
That's true. And they can take your land away by first just raising your property taxes so you can't afford them. Number two, you don't have a job so you can't pay your mortgage. Number three, housing prices will go so high that you can't afford them. And that's because of the inflation, because of the Federal Reserve, and because the Illuminati Jews have stolen the money supply of America. And they will also tell you that it's selfish. And we've got to have the land. We've got to take care of the land. We've got to take care of the creation. This is worship. This is Wicca and witchcraft, because they worship the earth. And so even churches are having Earth Day. Well, what this is, again, part of communism is worship of the creation. And that's why they've got the little apron for Freemasonry over the genitalia, because they worship sex. And so this is all the whole business of getting rid of the family, worshiping sex as pleasure, not as part of recreation from God. All of this is just debauchery, filth, degeneracy, every bad thing.
Yes, let's go to the next point. Restructuring the family unit. We can see it by LGBTQ agenda, transgender agenda. They don't want people getting married. They don't want people giving birth. So in 2030, there will be no human babies born. Am I correct?
Well, I'm not sure that there will be any people around to do that. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. What were people doing? Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, totally oblivious. Noah preached for 120 years. There was a flood coming. They said, oh, he's a stupid old man. Okay. And so they weren't ready. And then Jesus said, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Nobody is ready. God says, watch and be ready. Watch and be ready. Now, we don't know the day or the hour, the Bible says, but that doesn't mean we don't know the month or the year. I don't claim to know the month or the year, but we know we are near.
Yes, let's go to the next point. Children raised by the state. Well, we already have that because all the schools with their common core curriculum and everything.
Well, it's not only that, you know, now they want the children be able to transgender without their parents' approval.
Yes.
And you see that the state already, they're going to give your children vaccinations against your will. They're going to give you a vaccination against your will unless you stand for the Lord and are willing to go to a concentration camp or die rather than get one. Okay, that's the test that's coming. And not only that, there are all sorts of things. You know, they can't give your child an aspirin at school without your approval, but they can give them birth control.
Yes, that's...
The state already runs a family. When you get married, by the way, and you sign on your marriage certificate, the average person doesn't know that's related to other documents that say the state own your children.
Yes, wow, yes. Next, you have here the point... telling people what their job will be and where to live. Now, those days of choosing what you want to be when you grow up are basically over. And I don't know, Dr. Day, if you ever heard of IBM, Dr. Watson, I believe, a program where they want to eliminate all human doctors. So anybody who will say, I want to be a doctor when I grow up, right? When you ask child, what you want to be when you grow up? Those things are over. State will decide what your job will be. You will have an assigned job by the state. That's in their plan.
Yes, but I've already talked about, in the book, I talk about the elimination of healthcare. Yeah. They're going to eliminate doctors. There will only be Jewish doctors left, and there will be only a few of them. They will operate out of New York, maybe Los Angeles, and maybe some Chicago or someplace in the middle. And you will be denied medical care completely unless you are between the ages of about 15 and 55, because there you can be working and you contribute to the tax base. But everybody else, they'll get no medical care. That's why, again, everybody needs to learn how to take care of their own health. Go to my website at drday.com. I have two websites, drday.com has all the health information, and then goodnewsaboutgod.com has all the political and spiritual information, because if you are on medication, they're going to eliminate that. Okay, so you better learn how to be well. You better learn how to be well, as I have learned how to be well, because they're not going to give you any health care. And Jews, in the Talmud, it says a Jewish doctor is not allowed to save the life of a Gentile unless the Gentiles are in enough control that the Jewish doctor will get in trouble. Well, as we already know now, the Jews are in control. So no Jewish doctor will get in trouble if he just, what they're doing now is they're killing people in nursing homes. They're killing people in hospitals. They're doing it already.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. So we can see that point is already here. Major restrictions on movement is the next point. We already see what Corona brought, right? They locked us down. Borders are locked, and don't plan your vacations.
Right.
Right?
That's right. Yeah,
so that's on the agenda. Next, there will be no movement of people, basically. And they want to eliminate cars as well.
Right. They want to eliminate cars, and they want you to stay in your house. A part of this is because they don't want people to get together to form a resistance.
Right.
But secondly, they treat us as animals in pens. The goyim, the word for Gentiles, goyim, is lower than beast. They look at us just as animals. That's all we are, as animals. And we can be slaughtered like animals. And eventually they're even going to put human flesh in hamburger and stuff like that. They're going to make everybody a cannibal. And I talk about cannibalism in there. And I show how Martina Abramovic is getting people to... There's actually a restaurant in Los Angeles that... serves human flesh.
Yes.
Now you cannot, and by the way, they're taking some flesh from celebrities and they're growing them in the in the laboratory and extending them, putting them in food so you can eat your favorite celebrity. I mean, this is all getting people to eat human flesh. What they don't recognize is that there's a disease that cannibals have gotten in South Pacific and their other places, where they would eat the chief of their opponent when they would win. And it's called kuru, and it's a deadly disease. It's like AIDS, and you die. And it's probably from the prion, because when you eat the animal of the same species, and in fact, when you eat, God wanted us only to eat fruits, grains, and vegetables. And animals didn't even eat each other until sin entered. And so when you feed animal flesh to cows and goats and all, they get a disease called the mad cow disease, the prion disease, because they're not meant to eat that. And humans were not meant to eat flesh food either.
Right, right. Yes. And you talk very extensively about this in your book on health that you have. Next, creation of human settlement zones. So what they're planning is to take people out of villages, you know, remote areas, and into smart AI cities where they can be monitored 24/7, right?
I was in Moscow during when the wall was still up. I went over there with some U.S. surgeons. We were to operate in Kurgan in Siberia with some Russian surgeons. The wall was still up. We landed in Moscow and we were put into a hotel, and there was a KGB agent on every floor that was monitoring our coming and going and anybody who came to see us. That's what they want to do. They want to put us in little tiny apartments. We visited, we were not supposed to, but we visited secretly some of the doctors in Russia. There were six people living in a 500 square foot apartment. Six people, and they want to put us in high-rise apartments because, after all, by the way, what do you think Habitat for Humanity is? Habitat is meant as a cage for an animal. Habitats are for animals, not for human beings. So this Habitat for Humanity is all part of that. So they want us in really tiny high-rise apartments, and then guess what? Oh, we made a mistake with the heating. Oh, we put gas in there instead, and 500,000 people are dead.
Wow. So it will be much easier to eliminate people they don't like, plus the 24-hour monitoring of us.
Right.
Right. Like animals, like you said. Yes.
Not only that, they'll have surveillance in every apartment. They will be able to see you even when you undress.
Yes, and it's through smart appliances that they're pushing right now. They just thought of everything. But anyway, next we have three more points to go through, and then we will tell people where to get your book, and we will meet next week for further information. So here we go. Mass resettlement as people are forced to vacate their land homes where they currently live. Oh, we already talked about this now, but this is what that's what the Agenda 2030 is. They're going to take you out of your land, put you into AI city. But the problem is, Dr. Day, that people, you know, people are preparing, we are doing gardening. We are doing stuff that we can be a little bit self-sufficient. But look at what happened this morning. My daddy went to buy tilt the land, right? Mm-hmm. And the man in a Home Depot told him, that's the last one we have. We are not going to get more. And you cannot even buy it online. They're going to make it illegal to own tilter. So you cannot tilt your land. So they're going to make laws and regulations that gardens will be illegal.
Right. So of course, they want you to buy your own, grow your own food. That's why you've got to learn to trust God.
Right. That's when the faith comes in, right? The faith in our Lord.
You can't trust God unless you know who he is, and you don't know who he is unless you really study his word.
Yes, yes. Let's go to the next point. Dumbing down education. That's already achieved. You talked a lot about dumbing down.
Well, I saw an article yesterday. They're even saying that people should not learn to read and write.
That is almost funny. Really?
The New York Times said critical thinking is white privilege. Critical thinking is white privilege. You should only ponder something less than 3 minutes. You should have no critical thinking.
But it looks like when you go to town, right, for shopping right now, and you look around all these people with masks on and all of that, they really achieved the dumbing down. They don't think.
See, I don't draw the line at a mask. I'll do where they play their silly game, because a mask really doesn't harm me greatly. I, as a surgeon, I wore a mask a lot. But the thing is, when it comes to being tested, because they can vaccinate you with the test. Mm-hmm. And the reason they're putting it way back in the back of your nasal sinus is so they can get those particles into the brain through the piriform, through the cribriform plate, which is a thin plate of bone between your nasal sinuses and your brain that has openings in it for the olfactory nerve from your nose to go in there. Plus the cribriform plate is porous. So no time in the history of the world have they ever tested for any disease by taking a swab and putting it in the back of your nasal sinus. They're doing that. And I have all the evidence for that. They are doing that to make it available to go into the brain.
Yes, and you, Dr. Day, told us that several months ago, and in my country of Slovakia, where I was born, I have a family there. They had to have 3 mandatory testings, one after another. And later on, the article came out in independent media over there that was official experiment on a 5 million Slovakians by Brussels or Switzerland, one of these two, that was a controlled experiment. And all of these tests were not tests. They were vaccines. They were nasal vaccines that they were trying out on Slovakians. So
actually,
you were correct.
They're not even experimental. They know what they're going to do. They know. They're not experimental. They know what those things do.
Yes. And you and Deborah Tavera say the same thing to me. They say, don't use the word experimental anymore. They know exactly what they're doing. You know, but they use the word experimental. But people still take vaccine. Although they will tell us this is experimental, but they still take the vaccine knowing that, but as you said, and as Deborah Tavera said, these are not experiments anymore. They know exactly what they're doing. Yes. Well, thank you for reminding me. Now, mass global depopulation in pursuit of the above is your last point. And we already talked about this in the beginning. They're achieving it through vaccines. Now they're saying, it came out in the latest news, that COVID vaccine will be needed yearly like a flu vaccine. So I guess they will make sure that it will kill us off completely.
That's right, right. If the first one doesn't kill you, then give the second one. If that doesn't kill you, give you a third one until you're all dead. That's what it is. And they'll blame the deaths on the variants. Oh, we've got this terrible variant. There's no way they can even detect these variants. And on top of that, you have to think about viruses. Viruses may not even exist because a virus does not reproduce outside the body. It's part of your DNA. So how do they know that it's actually a virus? Because vaccinations against viruses don't work anyway. So this is probably all made up. The whole idea of virology and viruses probably is a lie.
So you know about Louis Pasteur and Bechamp?
Oh, of course, of course.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Louis Pasteur said, the germ is everything, the milieu, the immune system is nothing. And Beauchamp, Pasteur was a doctor, Beauchamp was a doctor, and he said, no, the milieu, the immune system is everything, and the germ is nothing. As I say in my books and DVDs, germs don't cause disease any more than flies cause garbage.
Yes.
Flies don't cause garbage. God gave us on the earth scavengers, pigs, rats, all that. They're to eat up the mess. They eat up the dying tissue, the dead animals, the waste, and all that. That's why God says don't eat unclean meats, because those things are unclean and they can cause disease in human beings. And people say, oh, well, God says if I pray over it, you know, if you pray over a pig, does it become a cow? No. All right, the pig's still a pig. So, and a pig is a scavenger. Now, God has given that to us on the earth to clean up the mess. If you have a big pile of garbage in your front yard, the garbage attracts the flies. Flies don't attract the garbage. You've got a vulture eating a dead animal in the road. The animal, dead animal, the dead and dying tissue attracts the cleanup crew. The scavenger does not attract the dead animal. Well, God has given us the same thing in our body. Germs are there to be our friends, to clean up the mess. We make ourselves sick by the way we live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. When we get disease, the germs move in to clean up the mess. They are not the cause of disease. They clean it up. But then people then get symptoms when they germs cause the toxins to be thrown into the bloodstream. Then they go to the doctor and get antibiotic. What does antibiotic mean? It means against life. It kills the germs. Yes, it does kill the bacteria, but the bacteria are there to help you. It's like if you're driving down the freeway and you see a person bleeding on the side of the road and a man standing over him, you say, oh, that's the guy who did this. And so you stop and you go beat up the guy who's standing over the guy bleeding. And then you find out he's the ambulance attendant. Okay, so the whole point is germs don't cause disease any more than flies cause garbage. Flies don't cause garbage. Flies are attracted by garbage to clean up the mess. We give ourselves disease. I gave myself cancer. The way I got over my cancer was to change the way I was living, eating, and handling stress to deprive the cancer of what it needed to grow. And then I got well.
Yes. Well, Dr. Day, look, I'm showing people you have pictures here in this book to help us to picture all of this. You're saying, like, I'm here on a page 567, and it's a picture of statue of Monster Golem in Prague, Czech Republic. And, you know, I lived in Prague, and you're right, it is there. And that's interesting because I never knew. There's even a movie about Golem. Yeah, Czech movie. So that's interesting how you connect all of these things and history to all of this. But anyway, next time when we are meeting, we are going to talk about some more subject that you covered in a book. And for now, I want to thank you for coming on with me today. Again, this is the book, huge book, over 800 pages, The Deliberate Destruction of America and the World, Who is Doing It and Why? Beautifully written in a very easy way to understand. You will be able to really understand everything. Dr. Day uses simple words so everybody can understand, and pictures and proofs. She has put in a lot of proofs out of the mouth of Jewish agents. Okay, so the prime ministers and out of the mouth of Illuminati members, where they themselves admitted to all of their agendas. So thank you again. And please tell us, how can people get this book?
Just go to my websites at either drday.com or Good News About God, all one word, goodnewsaboutgod.com, and you can buy the book there.
Yes. So Amazon wouldn't have your book because they're on a book burning mission.
I felt that I needed to put this down. First of all, I've lived longer than most people who still have their mind working. And so, again, I was alive during World War II. I have collected information for at least 30 years on all of this. I have studied the Bible, so I know what the Bible says about this. And it tells us the outcome, actually, if you read the end of the book, the outcome is glorious. But we're going to go through a lot of hard times before we get there. And so, you see, they can remove this interview with just a push of a button. Yes. But they can't burn all my books with just a push of a button. It'll take them a little longer to do that.
Yes. So when we can no longer share with you because they're going to take out our alternate channels. And as you know, my YouTube channel was totally shut down. And I lost a lot of interviews with Dr. Day. They were posted on Vimeo, on my YouTube channel. It's gone. I have them, of course. So I have to just find them again and bring them back on alternate channels. But you will always have Dr. Day's book to go to. So please get this book. Check this out. We're going to have Dr. Day back again, hopefully next week for more information. And for now, I want to thank Dr. Day again for coming on with me. And I want to thank all of you for watching. And I want to thank you for your attention. So you have a great day. Hold on just a second. I'm about to.